The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Congratulations, America. We survived. Well, most of us did. But more importantly, democracy survived. The nation survived. And as you know, I wasn't sure that was going to happen. What a day this has been. Rarely does a day go off as flawlessly as today's has. But it has. And we are celebrating. Welcome to the party, everybody. I'm feeling really good today for, as you know, a number of reasons. We have a new president and a new vice president. And the former president has been exiled to the swamps of Florida, where he's got to feel very at home. Now, I'm in Florida, too, but I'm not in a swamp. It just went off so well. So we'll recap what happened today. I'll share with you some of what I think are the highlights. But I got to tell you, Trump left. The Bidens, because they're classy people, waited until the couple got on the plane and the doors closed before they emerged from Blair House to begin their day. They're like, let him have his moment, do his thing, whatever the hell it is. He's done. Okay, now it's our show. And they emerged, and they went over to the Capitol, and the inauguration happened, and everything from Lady Gaga singing the national anthem to Garth Brooks doing Amazing Grace to them taking the oath to a few minutes ago when I just saw Greg Alexander and New Radicals perform You Get What You Give, which should be all of our theme songs. It's all perfect. And then in the middle there at 1 o'clock, I had a phone appointment with my oncologist to go over my latest CAT scans, which I had done on New Year's Eve day, so I could get it in before new insurance kicked in on New Year's Day. And it cost me, you know, too much money, and I was in under the wire, so it was covered. And the good news is, my scans are clear. My lung cancer, which was, I had surgery and, you know, in August of 2016. So I have one more CT scan with the contrast and the whole big deal thing in August, which will be the 5-year anniversary. And if that's clear, I'm considered cured. But the doctor told me I'll still have to get a CT scan every year, but it'll just be a basic, what they call screening. It won't be with contrast and all that. So we're celebrating. I mean, what a day. What a day. So I guess we, well, you know what? Let's start with a little celebratory song, shall we? You know our friends at Midas Touch, the brothers Macellus, who used me on a couple of spots that I voiced, anti-Trump spots that they ran. But Midas Touch, the brothers, really came into their own this year. And apparently they made another friend in Bette Midler. And I guess she enlisted them to produce a video to go with her Farewell Trump song. So here it is. With no further ado, Bette Midler and Midas Touch. Take it away, guys.
It's so nice, you'll soon be right where you belong. Writing memoirs, Donnie, behind bars, Donnie. Once the birth that cursed the earth to Leavenworth has gone. The tax you owe, Donnie, your last hoe, Donnie. All the lies that we despise at last will end.
Election,
you're locked up, sucker. I can just hear your butt pucker. Donnie, you're done. We're free at last. Pack up the Klan and make it.
Taylor with Midas Touch, who produced the video for her. I will post that on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com, along with whatever else I happen to play. The other thing that went so well. So I told you I'm watching everything. I'm recording stuff. I got all kinds of audio clips. We have Harvey J.K. joining us in a little while. that was just so good. And then I'm watching, you know, the cable news channels weren't showing the parade across America. And, you know, I'm a big New Radicals fan. I love that album. Still do. More than 20 years later, after it came out. And so I'm watching the feed on C-SPAN and recording it. So I have it. I have it on audio anyway. And that ended just in time for me to flip back over and see Kamala Harris in her new role as president of the Senate, as vice president, swearing in John Ossoff, Raphael Warnock, and Alex Padilla, who are the three new senators. And it was pretty awesome. Here's what happened. I came
Senator
in the middle.
Kamala D. Harris of California.
I guess she was saying that Padilla was replacing Senator Harris of California. Sorry, short here.
Yeah, that was very weird. Okay. The certificates of the chair is advised are in the form suggested by the Senate. Okay. If there be no objection, the reading of the certificates will be waived, and they will be printed in full in the record. If the senators-elect and senator-designate will now present themselves at the desk, the chair will administer the oath of office.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Ossoff. Mr. Padilla.
Yeah.
Mr. Warnock.
No. Uh-oh. Okay. I don't know what happened. What's going on here? Oh, I know what. Okay. I'm going to pull that down until they start talking. So they're all coming up to the front. I guess they're signing whatever they need to sign, I'm guessing, because I heard it. I didn't see it. But it's coming. You'll hear them take the oath in just a second. I'm a little giddy today. Can you tell? Okay.
Please raise your right hand.
Yes.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
yeah,
that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion,
okay,
and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God.
I do.
Congratulations.
Woo-hoo! And now the Democrats control the U.S. Senate. That means Mitch McConnell can no longer be the Grim Reaper of the Senate. His desk is not where bills go to die. Chuck Schumer will get to control the schedule and decide what gets brought up for a vote. Yes, they're negotiating the power sharing because they each have 50 members. But Democrats are in charge because they control the White House and the vice president is the Senate president. So that's good, right? It's all good. Let me take you back to this morning. I promise this won't go very long. I'm only going to share a few seconds, but I got to play for you the final, the last thing that Trump said. So he gives a speech. He goes to Andrews, right, where he's going to get on Air Force One. And this is why he wanted to leave early in the morning so he still could fly on Air Force One. Because the minute Joe Biden took the oath, it's no longer Air Force One. It's just a military plane. And so Trump wanted his big ceremony. There were maybe 50 people there, most of whom I believe were press or his family. And then he gives a speech and he doesn't use a teleprompter or anything. He's got some notes, I guess. Apparently, a speech was written for him and a teleprompter was set up, but he said no and they took it down. In the written speech, they did acknowledge Joe Biden and Kamala Harris by name. In his extemporaneous speech, Trump didn't, though he did say a new administration is coming in and we wish them luck and I wish them success. it was the most he could muster. He still didn't say they won, they're legitimate, you know, the things he needed to say. But the most curious thing I saw, I thought, was how he ended it. And let me just play it. I'm going to play you 20 seconds.
Here we go. Elements of Congress. But we really did. We've gotten so much done that nobody thought would be possible. But I do want to thank Congress. And I want to thank all of the great people
of
Washington, D.C.
He worked together with Congress? No, he didn't.
All of the people that we worked with to put this miracle together.
Miracle.
So
here we go.
Have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was it. Have a good life. We'll see you soon. Oh, my God. I think that calls for another song. I've got a few of them to share with you today, and I want to get them in before Harvey J.K. gets here, because I have a feeling, you know, we'll get a little serious when Harvey gets here. So it's not going to be all fun and games, although it could be. Have a good life. We'll see you soon. Oy. Well, this is from somebody, a guy on YouTube named Gail Kallstrom. I'm sorry, Dale Kallstrom. Take it away, Dale Kallstrom.
You're fired and you are required to move out today. Insane. They taunt me and cheat, and I can't even tweet to complain. Now we're blue. I thought I could steal the election with Hawley and Cruz, so we started a coup. But after my failed insurrection, I've got a slight worry or two. What comes next? I've overreached, and those Georgia fruits got me impeached.
Uh-oh.
You've chosen Joe. Stupid. Sad. Soon you'll see he's very bigly bad. Tax will rise. Stocks will fall. Though so far they haven't dropped at all. And my friends, as for me, I invite you all to visit at the penitentiary. Blah, 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 blah. President Joe Biden. Good luck.
Good luck indeed. Yes, that was Dale Kallstrom, a takeoff on a song from Hamilton. I'll be back. But he won't. Oh, that was so good. I got to tell. So I played for you Trump's final words. Now I got to share with you what Jake Tapper said on CNN immediately following Trump's getting on the plane and saying, have a good life. We'll see you soon. Here's the commentary from CNN.
Have a good life. We'll see you soon.
Oh, I'm sorry. And he went out. Then the music started playing and it was YMCA. Seriously, YMCA.
Have a good life. We'll see you soon. A fitting end to the Trump presidency, a speech full of puffery and lies. Although, of course, with this president, it always could have been worse. There weren't the worst of his typical lies about the election. He did acknowledge that there is an incoming administration, but we don't have to grade on a curve. It was an embarrassment that he did not even mention the name of his successor, Joe Biden, and the fact that he is making it all about himself and not about the country at all.
Not at all. And look, this is a president trying to write his own legacy, rewrite his own legacy, put it in the context that he's...
Okay, so you got the gist. Just tore him apart. Oh, I almost feel sorry for him. But not quite. So then they're at the Capitol, the inauguration, the pomp and circumstances beginning. And we see Kamala Harris walking through the Capitol building on her way out to the steps. And we find out who she's going to be escorted down the steps by. And I want you to listen to how they announce Eugene Goodman. Does that name sound familiar? It should. Listen to this.
The acting Deputy Senate Sergeant at Arms, United States Capitol Police Officer, Private First Class Eugene O. Goodman.
Did you hear that?
O. Goodman is getting a hero's welcome. He is the Capitol Police Officer who helped bait the wild mob away from the Senate. That's him right there. A veteran.
Goosebumps.
He is an American hero and has been rewarded with a promotion and the nation's gratitude.
Right?
He will be escorting Vice President-elect Kamala Harris as a recognition of his valor and his heroism.
Yeah. So Eugene Goodman got a promo. He's the guy who you saw the video a million times as the rioters, the insurrectionists were coming up the steps. They were coming towards him. He was a lone Capitol police officer. And he gets to the top of the steps. He looks to the right. He realizes that's the door to the Senate chamber. And they're still in there. And the door's not locked. And then he pushes one of the people to sort of goad him into following him. And he went the other way, led them away from the Senate floor so the senators could be taken out to safety. Eugene Goodman is a hero and he saved a lot of lives. And he was now promoted. He's promoted to assistant. No, he's acting deputy sergeant at arms. Now, what I read was the House, but someone corrected me and said it's the Senate. Whatever it is, Eugene Goodman was recognized for his heroics and saving the day, and he was promoted. And it's just wonderful. I mean, I had just good feelings today. I know I've been critical of Joe Biden in the past, and I will be in the future. But not today. Not today. He said what needed to be said. And I know Harvey J.K. is going to come on and he's going to be a little bit of a party pooper. And on any other day, I would, too. But not today. So but I'll leave that up to Harvey to bring you the other side, to play devil's advocate, because we can. But think about the thing, that orange blob that evacuated the White House today and flew off to Florida, where he belongs. So from now on, when you talk about him, we can just call him Florida Man. I'm a rock person when it comes to music. But over the past couple of years, I've become a fan of Lady Gaga's. Didn't love the movie, her remake of A Star Is Born, but I like her a lot. And she, oh my God, we just have to play it. Lady Gaga sang the national anthem. such a god-awful song, and that really is a terrible, violent, horrible song. We need a new national anthem. But Lady Gaga, I bow down. That was just pretty, pretty awesome. Yeah, it was great. There were so many of those moments. I just, and I'm so glad Trump wasn't there because he didn't belong there. He didn't belong there. One other moment just blew my mind. And judging from the reaction on the Twitters, it did everyone else's as well. The poet laureate is a young woman named Amanda, Gormley. Hold on, I want to get it right. Amanda Gorman, G-O-R-M-A-N. Amanda Gorman is 22 years old, and she was chosen to be poet laureate and deliver something she wrote. And I'm just going to share this with you because I thought it was quite amazing. And it's a message for today, for our times. So here we go. Here we go. She's adorable. She's 22 years old. Oh my God.
Mr. President, Dr. Biden, Madam Vice President, Mr. Emhoff, Americans and the world. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. In the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always just is. And yet the dawn is ours before we knew it. Somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We, the successors of a country and a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother, can dream of becoming president only to find herself reciting for one. And yes, we are far from polished, far from pristine, but that doesn't mean we are striving to form a union that is perfect. We are striving to forge our union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first. We must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true. That even as we grieved, we grew. That even as we hurt, we hoped. That even as we tired, we tried. That we'll forever be tied together, victorious. Not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. If we're to live up to our own time, then victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. That is the promised glade, the hill we climb, if only we dare it. Because being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it, would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated. In this truth, in this faith we trust, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption. We feared it at its inception. We did not feel prepared to be the heirs of such a terrifying hour, but within it we found the power to author a new chapter, to offer hope and laughter to ourselves. So while once we asked, how could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? Now we assert, how could catastrophe possibly prevail over us? We will not march back to what was, but move to what shall be, a country that is bruised but whole, benevolent but bold, fierce and free. We will not be turned around or interrupted by intimidation, because we know our inaction and inertia will be the inheritance of the next generation. Our blunders become their burdens. But one thing is certain. If we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy and change our children's birthright. So let us leave behind a country better than the one we were left. With every breath from my bronze-pounded chest, we will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the gold-limbed hills of the West. We will rise from the wind-swept Northeast, where our forefathers first realized revolution. We will rise from the lake-rimmed cities of the Midwestern states. We will rise from the sun-baked South. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
Wow, wow, wow. That was, oh my goodness, Amanda. Ken, I'm so scattered today. I'm so sorry. Amanda Gorman, a youth poet laureate. Sorry. I'll give her the whole thing. How brilliant was that? I mean, poised and wonderful and just amazing. What a day. Something else happened today, too. My husband's letter to the Miami Herald is in today's paper. Now, I can't show it to you online because the Miami Herald doesn't post. I mean, the most recent letters to the editor they have on their website are from December 20th or something. Really? So let me share with you from today's Miami Herald. It says, Senator Scott's milieu is the headline they gave it. And it says, regarding Senator Rick Scott's January 19th op-ed, "Don't Restore Failed Cuba Appeasement Policies of the Past," the public interest would be better served if Scott's contributions were limited to the areas in which he is more qualified to comment. For example, how to defraud Medicare and how to plead the Fifth Amendment to obscure guilt are skills more in his wheelhouse than esoteric matters of foreign policy. His recent experience as a Trump sycophant and seditionist would also qualify him to comment on how to betray his country and the people who elected him. Foreign policy should be left to the experts, and Scott should stay in his lane. Signed, David Sloan, Coral Springs, Florida. So there you go. I mean, everything, right? Can the day get any better? And again, I can't play the whole thing because I got a little copyright notice from New Radicals publisher the other day. But here's how the performance began today anyway.
Hi, I'm the lead singer from the New Radicals. The band ended over 20 years ago before our second single was even released. So when we heard that You Get What You Give was a fine family anthem, we pledged if Joe won, we'd get together and play our little song, both in memory and in honor of our new president's patriot son, Bo, and also with the prayer of Joe being able to bring our country together again. Joe, Kamala, this one's for you.
Wake up, kids, we got the dreamer's disease.
Sorry, I get carried away. and I can't play. You know what? Okay. I did an interview with Greg Alexander back in 1999, one of the few who did, because before he retired. He stopped because he hated the spotlight. He's still a producer and a songwriter. He just doesn't like performing. He didn't want to be a star. But my interview with him was brilliant. And he did a live rendition of that song and the other one, Someday We'll Know, the other single, which I will post. I'll post the audio for you on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com. /1-20-21, where I post the podcast. Okay, it'll be there today, so go check it out. I can't play it because I'll get copyright violated. All right, let me do one more thing before we bring Harvey J.K. on, and that is somebody asked me the other day, why don't you call around the world as you've done before and find out what the rest of the world is thinking about Trump leaving? Well, I'll do you one better. I'll play one more song parody and then bring Harvey on. This is from our friend Shirley Sherban, who we met on this program when I was doing the quarantine calling. I reached out to Shirley in New Zealand, so she's a friend of the show, and she had this one ready to go to premiere at 12 noon today when Donald Trump was out, when Joe Biden was inaugurated. And she's so good. When you know, the news crews were at Andrews waiting for Trump to arrive in Marine One, the music that was playing was Gloria. Well, Shirley Sherban knew it, and well, this is her latest. It's kind of a farewell and a kind of a fuck you to Donald Trump. Here we go. Says noon, 20th, January 2021. Donald Trump is no longer president of the United States.
Euphoria. Your White House time is done now. You are now a nobody. We didn't like you anyhow. I think that you've got to get out, 'cause you've already blown it. I think you're headed for a jail cell. Since November you've known it. How could we not remember all the hateful things you said? Crazy voices in your head. You're gone, euphoria. No more here. Your Trump base is waning. We've chosen to ignore you. You've got no Twitter for complaining. You will have to answer for your treason and your crime. Oh, the jail cell waits for ya. Euphoria, euphoria. The feds have got your number. Euphoria. Your fake news and you failed us. Oh yeah. So crawl up from that book you're under. Euphoria. You lost me.
Shirley Sherban, everyone, find her on YouTube. And now, with no further ado, we gotta do this.
Well, where is he?
Where is who?
Where is Harvey?
Oh, you mean Harvey J.K.
Yeah, Harvey.
Well, he's coming up right now on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, author of numerous books, including, hold on, I've got them all written out, but I'm just trying to get our shot together, which for some reason got all screwed up. Books. Harvey, you tell us. Tell us your books. You've got
There are about 15 to 18 of them, whatever. But the books that I would love people to pick up would include the book over my shoulder, if they can see it at all, FDR on Democracy, which I brought out this past spring. And I think is a real refresher now that we have a chance of maybe doing something politically. The one before that, Take Hold of Our History, which is a collection of my speeches and essays, which I think in some ways I might have become dated with the new president, but I'm convinced, having listened to the speech he gave today, that it's by no means dated at all. and then before that is The Fight for the Four Freedoms, made FDR and the Greatest Generation truly great, which really I was the love letter I wrote in some ways to my parents' generation. And then the book, which is really the statement of my affection, my hero, Thomas Paine and the Promise of America. And that leaves out all the ones from the 80s and 90s.
Okay, well, you've kept busy. And you're a historian and a professor, and this is obviously an historical day. And I know you, like I, have mixed feelings. I've decided today's just been an amazing day. Everything, you know, I'm one of those people that I keep calling it the Peter Principle, but it's not. It's when anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Murphy's Law. Yeah. I'm the Murphy's Law person. Right. But today is one of those days when everything's going right. I got a clean CT scan, so I'm that much closer, right? Today, my husband's letter to the editor was published. More importantly, Donald Trump is gone. He's gone. We have a new president, a new vice president. We have people who are sane, who understand how government works, who understand compassion. These are compassionate people. And then I watched the Biden family, huge clan, walk into the White House today. And all I could think was, that's a lovely family. And I love seeing them walk in the White House knowing that none of them, other than Joe, will be working there. What a concept.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to erase from my mind all the things that I was prepared to say today in favor of celebrating the absence of Donald Trump.
It's worth it.
And your clean scan, okay?
Okay.
That alone would have made me very happy to hear. Donald Trump comes second place, actually.
Yeah. Right. Well, I had the appointment, a phone appointment with the oncologist at 1 o'clock today. So it was in the middle of all this. And it was like, okay, bring it on, because nothing is going to go wrong today. This is just, this is a great day.
Right. And make it all the more perverse. Donald Trump dancing in that euphoria video. Donald Trump dancing in that euphoria video was actually dancing to celebrate your good health.
Right. Yeah. But that video, just to tell you, Harvey, so Shirley Sherban is a school principal in New Zealand. Yeah. And when the lockdown first happened, I started this feature called Quarantine Calling, where I would reach out to people all over the world to see how they were doing. Because for the first time ever, we were all in the same situation. We were all dealing with this pandemic. We were all locked down. We were all kind of freaked out. And so I spoke to people in Denmark and Norway and Germany and Italy and Australia and New Zealand and other places. And Shirley Sherban has been doing these videos, and she's great. I mean, she's a school principal, but she's a talented singer and video producer. And so she, through these people, I've learned what the attitudes around the world are about Donald Trump. And so she produced this song, Euphoria, to go live the moment Donald Trump was out.
And when I heard it and I was watching it, I immediately went to my phone to go to YouTube. In order
to find it,
to get it. And I have now got it on my phone, and I am going to send it out all over the place. Okay. Which will make up for the sourness that I would otherwise be speaking of. Not sourness, the disappointment. No. You know what? His speech today, just so you know, was kind of what I expected. And in that respect was disappointed, because I had this hope it was going to be more. But let's come back to the Donald Trump thing.
Okay.
So I'm watching that video. The thought that crossed my mind. So my older daughter, her husband, my son-in-law, is a software engineer. Okay. He went to this really nice sort of high tech school in Indiana called Rose Holman. It's an undergraduate It's like an undergraduate version of MIT and Caltech, and he became a software engineer. And so he's a remarkable geek, and I love the guy, and he's got all these friends who are geeks, and it's just fantastic. But he also got involved in comedy, improv, and those kinds of things, and it really brought him out. But the colors of Rose Holman are red and white. And he gave me a few years ago a Rose Holman baseball cap to wear, which I loved wearing because I would shock people because it says Rose Holman engineers, because here I am, a social science historian type. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump's MAGA caps came out and I had to put my Rose Holman cap up in my closet, never to wear for fear. Wow. That I might be mistaken. So here's my thing.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the day where I feel confident that people will not assume that anybody wearing a red baseball cap is not a MAGA, because I'm looking forward to putting that cap. I really liked it a lot. So yeah. There you go.
There you go. You know, Harvey, look, I have been and will be critical of Joe Biden. I think it's my responsibility as a progressive talk show host, somebody who shares opinions, because, he's going to do things that I disagree with. He already has. But I thought today, you know what? Today's a really good day. And I don't want to go there. Now, I saw the speech. Honestly, it was OK. Did he missed saying a few things. But you know what? The presidency is going to be more than a speech.
When you were watching, did for a brief moment you lose the picture?
I don't recall, because I was listening more than watching. I was tweeting, and I was
for a brief while, and I thought, somebody is trying to shut him off, but he came back soon enough. So
C-SPAN's cameras are not great, but who knows? I'm just more excited that we have I think despite my differences, my ideological differences with Joe Biden, he's a bit conservative for my tastes, and he's done some things in the past that I don't appreciate, and I'm hoping that he's learned over the years. Do I have proof? No, but we'll have plenty of time over the next 4 years to call him out, to push back, to to criticize, and I will. I'm sure
I
will a lot.
This day, you know, why I'm going to remember this
because
day?
I've never been so magnanimous before.
I'm going to remember this day because not only did Donald Trump go and Biden gave an okay speech, which, by the way, I'll be more critical of on another day.
Yes, okay.
But I will remember it for how sweet you are right now.
Aww. Okay. I am so, Harvey, I got to tell you.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. I was just on the phone. Yeah, do you know who Alan Minsky is by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Long story. Alan Minsky was the acting program director at KPFK in Los Angeles for a long time.
Right.
They hired me a few years ago to come in and be program director. I almost left and went there, but I didn't. I wound up turning it down. And they wound up hiring somebody else. And Alan Minsky is now the head of Progressive Democrats of America, I believe.
Right. Yeah. And in the last, it's only been in the last maybe 6 months, he and I have become pretty good friends. We've only done all of it. It's always by way of Zoom or a phone call and all that. Uh-huh. But we're working on some things together. And so he called me about an hour before I came on to see you. And he's to talk about the speech and other stuff. And he started telling me what he thought. And I said to him, wow, you're pretty sweet. And I said, you're pretty sweet.
Oh, he was being magnanimous too?
Yeah. And I said, you know what? Not even knowing how upbeat you would be, Nicole, I said to him, you know, Alan, I'm going to let all of my anger out on you.
Okay.
I'm going on Nicole Sandler's show. And he said, oh, really? And I said, yeah. And I don't know how it'll play there. So I'll take it easier. Who knew that I would be sandwiched between two sweethearts today? So.
Okay, so weird question, sort of non sequitur, but when you mentioned my name, did he react? Because he didn't want me to come and take that, but we didn't get into it because
he was talking about the speech.
Yeah.
But the next time I talk to him, I'm going to tell him that I was on with you and it was sweetness and light. And in fact, he didn't deter me. You really deterred me from. Okay.
Wow.
Which is okay. It really is okay. I've got other shows to do over the next week.
And the next time, look, you can come back on next week or the week after and go off on it.
Well, we can set that up. We'll talk next week about that. Okay.
All right. I'm looking for something special to play for you. If I didn't delete it, and I'm afraid that I may have. No, I didn't. All right. So, Harvey, because I want to make you happy today, okay. I have a song for you. All right. This is specifically for you. And it's called, well, this is going to give it away if I give you the title. I'll tell you anyway. It's called Incoming Chair of the Senate Budget Committee. You ready for this one? Here we go.
Just to be very clear, as the incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. I remember what happened in 2010. The Democrats controlled the Senate, controlled the White House, controlled the House. Remember that? They had the power. Democrats got wiped out. They did not deliver for the American people. So what we have got to do right now, no ifs, buts, or maybe, is have an aggressive agenda that says we understand. We have to act and act now. They had the power. It's the Democrats, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. People can't pay their medical bills. People are going deeper into debt. People are facing addiction. Millions of people have lost their jobs. We know you're in pain. We have to act and act now. We have got to be bold. They had the power. It's the Democrats, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. Incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. He's incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. 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 Incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee.
So, Harvey J.K., what do you think?
Well, here's what I think. You know, it's funny. I think that he's the chairman of the Budget Committee.
Yeah.
The Senate
incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee.
Actually, better than being the majority leader.
Is it? Really? Why?
Yeah, because he's going to be there in the trenches.
Yeah. No.
And I think, given his somewhat independent streak and the things he's been talking about, I'd like to be there that first. I hope they air it on TV.
C-SPAN.
So that I can see him lay out his agenda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. and see how they respond. I mean, that would be delicious. Because I got a little concerned. I saw the announcement yesterday, the day before, that Schumer and McConnell have agreed to the power sharing.
Yeah, but they have to do that because they're 50-50. Right. But Schumer still controls the calendar. He gets to decide what comes to the floor. So that's
and I think, you know what? I think Schumer will depend on Biden to make Schumer's name more respectable.
I think so too.
Because Schumer does worry about being primaried.
As he should.
In New York.
As he should.
Bernie might enable him to not be primary. We'll see what happens.
Well, as long as they don't fight Bernie. The thing is, if they would all work together, and this is where my fear comes in, and I'll hold off on the criticisms for another day, but
I'm sorry I brought it up.
It's okay. Yes. No, it's okay. But I hope, look, I know Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are friends. They're contemporaries. They've been in the Senate together for a long, long time. They know each other very well. I hope Joe Biden listens to him. And Joe Biden has even said, and Harvey, I'm wondering your thoughts on this. He has made overtures saying now is not the time to worry about deficit and spending. Now is the time we need to spend. He gets that. And he's even alluded to we need another FDR. Now, he didn't say it in the speech today.
Right.
But
he didn't actually mention FDR.
No.
Sorry, I'm not going to go there.
You can. Just don't rag on him. It's okay.
And it's all well and good for him to have invoked Lincoln. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's interesting that I wish he had said something. You know me. My criticism isn't what he said.
It's what he didn't say.
It's what he didn't say, which I think could have really been essential if he really wants to lay the groundwork for the unity he's so keen on.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'll explain to you what I mean. Okay. So if he's looking for unity, look, the people who stormed the Capitol building, They should all go to jail,
yes,
period.
For a long time.
Right. But there are a lot of folks who voted for Trump once and then again, who actually voted, and I'm talking from Wisconsin where this happened, who actually voted for Obama once and then again. Okay.
You're up.
But they felt abandoned, mostly people out in the rural areas of Wisconsin. And they're not simply farmers. They're working class peoples, working class poor in many cases.
Right.
And they felt abandoned by the Democrats, period. And they saw Hillary Clinton as emblematic of that abandonment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to start winning those people back, don't talk to them about unity.
Right. Well,
talk to them about, here's what we're going to do to transcend this crisis. Talk about massive public works projects where people are going to be guaranteed jobs, where they're going to be afforded a living wage.
Yep.
And by the way, that would have literally crossed the aisle and might well have also enabled him to put pressure on the Republicans, maybe to peel away. All he needs is a couple of votes, to make things happen.
Yep. Yep.
Just in case Manchin decides to bolt.
Well, I think
public works, Manchin might not bolt because West Virginia needs public works. It's like Southern Democrats back in the 30s. They really did not want to support Roosevelt because they knew that every one of Roosevelt's initiatives presented the possibility of desegregating the South.
Okay.
As long as they could control the legislation, mm-hmm, and keep blacks out by way of, keeping agricultural workers out and household workers out, they loved it. They wanted the money that Roosevelt promised the states. So similarly, a guy like Manchin would be crazy not to endorse big public works projects.
Right. Oh, of course. It's just like FDR. We need a jobs plan. That's why the Green New Deal is perfect.
Yeah.
You had FDR's New Deal. I think Biden is trying to walk that tightrope and not offend any of his anti-Trumper, never-Trumper Republican friends. He's trying. Yeah. Look, I get the sentiment. This country, as long as I can remember, has never been as divided. Then again, in the 60s, I was a little kid, so I don't really remember. It was pretty fucking bad in the 60s, though. I think he wants to make peace. I think he's a genuinely decent guy, and he doesn't want to ruffle feathers, but I think he wants to make things better, and I think he understands the enormity of the crisis we're in. I mean, we are on the verge of a new Great Depression. We are.
And even if we're not, we're on the verge of more of the same, which is bad.
Yes. No, okay? We need change.
Here's the thing that says it. Everyone says they think he's a nice guy. I'm not going to argue. I don't know if he's a nice guy or not. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
What I do know is he, like Kamala Harris, is an opportunist.
So most politicians are.
Yeah, right. And by the way, unfortunately, and people may disagree with me, Bernie was not.
No, you're right. But Bernie's not a typical politician. Bernie's in a class of his own.
He had the opportunity to take Biden out.
That's right.
Last spring.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't
do
it.
Yep.
So here's the thing. So my hope is that Bernie, he may not have been able to cut the deal. Look, what worries me is there are people in the cabinet who do not augur well for at all.
I know. But some are great. Some of his picks are better than I had hoped for, and some of them are worse. And I have to be the person who realizes I can't win them all. I'm not going to get my way every time. The old saying, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Some of them are horrible. The woman from Rhode Island, some of them are just terrible. But some of them are really good, better than I had hoped for.
Okay, the BlackRock people that is brought in are terrible.
I agree.
Mean, dangerously so.
Yes.
Neera Tanden.
Oh, horrible.
Dangerous.
Sorry.
Okay.
Horrible. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if he's terrible or not, but I wish he didn't want to bring in a general as Secretary of Defense.
Right, because it should be a civilian position. It should not be.
Exactly.
Right.
That's right.
But the CIA, the head of the CIA, is a career diplomat. Again, I don't know the specifics of it, but it's not someone from the bowels of the CIA.
Yeah,
it's a diplomat.
I will tell you, we all know that every career diplomat of any consequence has always worked along with the CIA.
Okay. Well, I guess they have to, though. I mean,
yeah, they have to. It's part of security. It's the security affairs. It's right. Nothing else. These are not even the folks who buy their way into ambassadorships.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Because when you're on foreign soil, that's who's there to protect you. Yeah. I mean, that's your.
Yeah. And by the way, to slightly change and put a smile on your face, maybe. Yeah. I'd like to imagine that Joe Biden can offer someone like Susan Collins the ambassadorship to Ireland.
Yes, please.
And get her out of the way.
Do it. Get her out of there. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, maybe this is naive on my part, because I think the woman I'm about to mention is smarter than Susan Collins, and that's that Murkowski of Alaska.
Oh, Lisa Murkowski. Yeah.
And I wonder, even if it means, look, they have two independents already, I guess, in the Democratic caucus, at least. Maybe
right.
Three.
Angus King and Bernie. That's it, too.
Maybe they could pull away her into some kind of arrangement.
Maybe. I mean,
the kinds of things that he's going to seek to do that he'll need the Senate approval for.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope he could pull away two or three folks to vote for these public works projects. Okay.
Look, I think they would. They'll vote for infrastructure. Everybody knows we need infrastructure. Yeah. There's your jobs program. That can get you started. Right. And you do it in a green manner. Right. It's just don't call it the Green New Deal.
And you build into it this sort of the environmental stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You build into it a guarantee of health care for anyone working for the government or for a private sector corporation that receives a contract under this arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And third, collective bargaining rights.
Right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, those have gone.
And if you have to, you use the executive order to do it.
Yeah.
Legislate and executive order.
Yeah. It sounds good to me. And I think these things are possible. I wish his chief of staff was a bit more progressive. Ron Klain's not exactly my guy. But again, he's better than Rahm Emanuel.
Absolutely. And by the way, he actually has, I don't follow it closely, but people I know who do follow him closely are often surprised by he actually tweeted or retweeted somebody called this fellow Joe Sandberg, I'm friendly with out in California. Retweeted him on the question of a $23 minimum wage. I swear.
Really? Wow.
So that's because they're going to push for the 15.
Well, the 15.
Really,
so you asked for 23. The $15 an hour minimum wage is in Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID package.
It's about 10 years old, the call, but it's better than what we've got.
I'm in Florida, where the minimum wage, I believe, is $7.85 an hour.
Still the same all across the country. The federal minimum wage has not gone up.
You're right. It's sickening.
It's utterly sickening. You bet.
So things will get better. The question is how big the strides will be. We need to push for them to be huge strides. Okay, go.
I'm really happy about your health news. Really
Thank
happy.
You.
And I'll give you another piece of my good news, so to speak. And that is, I'm actually scheduled next Friday, today's Thursday?
Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Boy, my days are getting really whacked these days.
It happens.
Next Friday, not 2 days away, I'm supposed to be getting the first of the vaccines.
Oh, lucky you. Yeah. We I'm in Florida, and we have a governor whose name is Moron Death Sentence, who, I'm a lung cancer survivor. I'm missing most of my left lung, but because I'm under 65, I can't get a vaccine.
Well, 1 week ago, it looked like we wouldn't see anything for over 60s, over 65s, until maybe March or April, because they had sent a completely inadequate number. Then all of a sudden, just yesterday, the day before, on the news, it said, hey, sign up now. If you're over 65, you can. And
gotcha.
So I did it,
Well, good for you. I'm happy to hear it. Hey, Harvey, we're running to the end of the hour. And something I need to mention. I mentioned yesterday that we were celebrating. We got a bottle of champagne. We got crab legs. I made a sweet potato pie because we knew we were going to celebrate today. And now, of course, we have my CT scan result to celebrate as well. But I need to, thank the listeners here, because people who support this program, you guys are the reason that I'm able to have a champagne celebration tonight. We don't do it often, but I figured
I'm thrilled to hear you're going to actually open a bottle. That's great.
We are going to open a bottle of champagne, listeners
of
this program.
I'm going to do it too.
Awesome.
I'll open it too. And we're having something you may not know about. It's called walleye. It's kind of a northern and Canadian fish, which is fantastic. Okay.
Sounds good. And we'll have our crab legs. And you can watch the celebration tonight, the concert, at BidenInaugural.org/watch, or it'll be on the TV. Bruce Springsteen's performing, and the Foo Fighters, and so many others. And it's a celebration.
Like me, a Jersey boy. Are you originally from Jersey?
New York.
I'll just tell, if anyone's listening still, please, I'm at HarveyJK on Twitter. Happy to hear from you.
Follow Harvey. I'll put a link on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Harvey. Everybody,
thank
have
you.
A great day. This
thank
is a
you.
Great day. And we'll get back to my angry, you know, bitchiness soon, but not today.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. See you tomorrow.